Liquor Talk, brand new episode starts right now. Welcome on, welcome everybody to another edition of the Liquor Talk podcast. I'm your man Victor, and we are kicking off the month of December. And y'all already know what December is. For those of you who don't know or who have been rocking me for a while, y'all know December is my birthday month. And because it's my birthday month, the first two episodes of this month are going to be the birthday rounds. So helping me kick off the birthday month and kicking off the birthday round is my guest today. She is the host of Confessions of a Virgo podcast, podcasting out of Maryland. It's Shakita. How you doing today?
I'm good. And it's Chronicles of a Virgo podcast.
Chronicles, Confessions. I was listening to the Usher album earlier.
Hey, that wouldn't be a bad top. That wouldn't be a bad episode title, though. Confessions of a Virgo.
Hey, I'll give you episode titles and stuff. But how you doing today?
I'm doing well, in yourself?
I'm doing well. You know what I'm saying? I'm baffled by Florida once again. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking it's about to be cold, and it's hot outside. I'm like, it's my birthday, Mom. I'm thinking it's going to be, you know. But it's Florida for you. If anybody's ever been to Florida, y'all know in December, it's wishy-washy. You have a few days of hot, and then next time, then the little cold breeze comes in, you know. So
that's how the weather is here. It was almost like 60 today, and all week, I mean, I was waking up to like frost on my windows. So I don't know what's going on. I think it's just universal, though.
Yes, it is definitely universal. So tell the people about your podcast.
Okay. So first and foremost, thank you for inviting me onto your platform. I do appreciate it. And I am the host of Chronicles of a Virgo podcast. And my podcast is about just personal development, mental health, advocating for mental health and victims, victims of sexual abuse, domestic violence, any type of traumas that a person may have experienced. Just an overall platform to have engaging and healing conversations in hopes that it impacts someone enough to make them want to, you know, do better in their life, heal areas that maybe they didn't know they needed healing, or just gain some type of positive insight or motivation.
That's real. That's real. And also, shout out to some Virgos in my life. Shout out to my grandmother, who are both September Virgos.
Hey, their birthdays, the best.
Yes, their birthday is about like a week apart. One is born on the 13th. The other was born on the 19th. Mm-hmm. And they decided this year to celebrate their birthdays together. And I know my grandmother was really shocked for me to show up, you know what I'm saying? So shout out to them, you know what I'm saying? So what made you want to start this platform?
Well, originally I started Chronicles of a Virgo blog. So I do have a blog as well. And so how that idea came about, actually, I started my blog in 2019 after my last suicidal attempt. And being in therapy and stuff, my therapist was like, you know, she knew I like to write. I journal a lot. So she was like, maybe you should just start a blog and like just blog, you know, your motivational thoughts and just different experiences. And I did. My blog originated on WordPress.com. And I didn't know there was anything such as like a following or nothing like that. And I started to conjure up different people that resonated with the stuff that I was posting. And in the midst of it, I wanted to do podcasting, but I didn't know where to start. And I didn't know if I was going to have a following or just have the confidence in my voice at that particular time. So I just continued to do the blog for a few years. And then I kind of like died down from it due to some losing some very valuable people in my life, such as my grandmother. I lost my inspiration for writing. And I just did some more healing work. And then last year, randomly, I got this brilliant idea sent to me from somewhere to go ahead and start the podcast. So that's where Chronicles of a Virgo came from. And I just continue to just go with it. And sometimes I still feel like I don't know what I'm doing. But my overall theme of the podcast was just to put out some type of promotional messages that was just to help someone, because I didn't have access to a lot of things on my weakest moments, and I just wanted to just kind of be that vessel for someone else.
That's amazing that you decided to do that, be that vessel for someone else. And I'm glad that you were able to fight off of a suicidal attempt. Like, you're beautiful. What the hell makes a beautiful woman like you even get to that point of thinking about wanting to end your life?
Well, thank you. I think that for a lot of people on the outside of a person such as myself that have dealt with the struggles of mental health and the unfortunate thoughts of suicidal ideation is we don't see things how outsiders see it, you know? So, for example, you saying I'm beautiful at that particular time, I may not have felt that, you know? I can't speak for everyone. I can only speak for myself. My experiences have always been from encounters that I was dealing with in my life at the time and all those thoughts and different things. So I know a lot of times when people talk about depression or suicidal thoughts and people explain that, oh, I've thought about ending my life and stuff, the first thing people will say is, well, you're so fortunate. You have so much going on. You shouldn't feel that way. But there's a deeper point that a lot of people on the other end of that deal with, you know?
Yeah. I think what people don't also realize is we don't know how that struggle is getting to you. And sometimes a suicidal thought is easy when it comes to you easily when you have no one available, like no one you can lean on or no one you can approach, you don't have like a strong support system, because the real ones are going to tell you something that might want to help you to stick around, you know? So
in some cases, in speaking of my last attempt, I have a strong community of friends. I have family. I had a therapist. I actually was seeing two therapists at the time. And that still wasn't enough for me to feel like I was valuable to myself or anyone. I still wanted to in my life. I had a plan. I was in the process of mapping out my letter and like all of those things because I didn't feel that value. So I think it just differs. I mean, you know, I think the more these mental health conversations have been surfacing, you've been hearing and seeing a lot of your favorite celebrities, you know, talk about their moments of dealing with suicidal thoughts. And the thing that a lot of us think is you have so much money, but money can't replace happiness and peace. Money can't replace the healing that some people really need to do and dig into. So I think it's just like a lot of different, you know, aspects to that.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of different aspects to that, because I've also heard some celebrities say when they had everything, that's when they felt like they had nothing. So to all the people out there who feel like having materialistic things brings you happiness, no, yeah, it doesn't. It just brings you a lot of stress, you know. There's a reason Notorious B.I.G. made a song called More Money, More Problems. So it's like, you know, so money ain't the end all be all, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And what do you say to people who think, oh, if someone takes their life, they're being selfish? I'm just like, because I'm like, you don't know, how is that being selfish, taking yourself out, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I actually stopped talking to someone for making that comment when the unfortunate situation happened with DJ Twitch, because they said I just don't understand how he could have did that. Like, that was so selfish of him. He had a wife and kids and all these different things. And I think it's misplaced projections at that point, right? Again, mm-hmm. I don't expect for everyone to understand every aspect of mental health, and mental health is so big. You know, there's a lot of different aspects that go into it. There's a lot of different diagnoses, and we only see what people allow us to see. And if a person doesn't open up, or if they're not as open with putting things on social media, you would never know that some people are dealing with these internal thoughts or these internal feelings. And just because we look at other people's lives and perceive them to have everything and perceive them to be happy, like you're talking to me and I perceive to have it all together right now, right? Mm-hmm. I perceive to be, you know, in a very good space, but that doesn't mean I actually feel that way. So when people make those comments, I think that is selfish of them to say, because what information do you even have to justify that they were selfish, you know? And that just goes to also show that there's still a big disconnect with the mental health community and people trying to educate themselves more about it. I feel like you'll educate yourself about it if you truly cared. And if you've never experienced something in your own life, then I wouldn't expect for you to understand it. But if you don't, that's fine. But at least try to have empathy for people that do deal with things at a different level than you may, you know?
Yeah, that's real. Cause it's like I've definitely felt those things, and I've definitely felt those wanting to end all feelings. So it's like I can definitely resonate, but it's like to ones who can't resonate, it's just one of those cases. If you can't say something supportive, then you just need to shut up.
Ask questions. I mean, sometimes if you have an open person like myself, like I always say, I'm an open book. Sometimes I'm probably too open. If you have an open person that's open and willing to explain things to you on a level that you may articulate it, then by all means, that's a way to educate yourself. But by passing a judgment and, you know, projecting a negativity to the situation, it doesn't make it any better, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes. It doesn't make it any better. And also, there are a lot of resources out there that people, they need to utilize. And it's like, I would say you need to definitely turn every stone you possibly can, because it's like, we need each other alive, you know what I'm saying? Because you don't know what that experience may be for someone, you know?
Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
So like I said, once again, I'm glad to hear you alive, and I'm glad to hear you made it, you know what I'm saying? And I know that even if you are dealing with something you do, you are going to take the right steps to figure it out, you know what I'm saying? Because we all have those moments of the weakness, you know what I'm saying, where we just got to be strong, and it's not easy, you know.
Yeah, and that's why, like, I have the platform that I have. That's why I have the conversations that I have, whether it's with my personal group of friends, whether it's with me finding professionals, bringing them to my show to talk about those things, specifically those topics that are not touched on enough, you know, just to create the safe space of acceptable conversations and not make people feel like they're being judged or shunned upon because you have experienced it. Being a part of the Black community, I do understand that many of, you know, the Black families, they didn't believe in mental health at some point. I came from a family that did not believe in depression, that did not understand anxiety. And part of it was because of their upbringing and their lack of education and understanding. I would like to say now that specifically my family understands more of it now. However, there are some people that still, just because they understand it, doesn't necessarily mean that they resonate and believe every aspect of it. And that's perfectly fine. But just having to find those safe spaces that do have the conversations that not only make you feel safe, but are also educating you in the proper way is definitely beneficial too.
Yes, that's definitely real. And it's like, I feel you on that, because my family was the same way. It's like they believe more in the Bible and going to church and stuff rather than talking about mental health issues. It wasn't until you got older that's when they were like, oh, now we realize the mental health issues and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's sad that we as a Black community have just been set back so many years, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, And we got to change our thinking. We got to use the resources that are available to us today, because our parents didn't have this. Our parents and their parents, they didn't have the resources that we have today.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. And like I said in the beginning, I feel like when you do that, that means you are taking the initiative to take it a step further, because you want to know, like you want to be educated about it. You want to be able to take what you learn to apply it in your personal space, because you never know who in your life is dealing with something like that. And it also lets you learn different signs to look for. Like, we may think that a person that's depressed is always going to look sad and be crying, right? But depression can also be hyperactive, over talkative, highly stimulated, you know. Anxiety, some people think that anxiety will always look like a person that's always like real, I call it gidgety, like always everywhere. But sometimes anxiety can be jumpy, it could just be just moving slow. So there are a lot of different aspects to learn when you're talking about mental health, and then when you dive deeper into like dual diagnoses, different psychosis, different layers of it, right? You learn so much more. So again, I ain't saying everybody need to go grab a textbook. I know a lot because I went to school, I studied it, I've worked in the field for years, and I've dealt with it, you know? So you can learn just like the bare minimum of it. I think we lost you for a second. Hey,
sorry about that. It was definitely frozen, but yeah, you were definitely some strong points there. You know, I don't know what the hell is going on with technology nowadays.
I know it's like a blank. You're like a blank screen. Can you still see me?
I think you're a blank screen on my end too.
Oh, that's so weird.
Yeah. I don't know what's up with this thing, y'all. We record Look and Talk and we're having technical difficulties, but it's all good. We can still hear you. You can still hear me, right?
Yeah, I can still hear you.
Okay. But we'll thug it out, you know what I'm saying? Once we get this technology back online, I don't know what the hell's going on. But maybe it's the storms. It has been storming here in Florida too, so I don't know what's to come of this, you know. So
yeah, but I can still hear you though.
Okay, good. Just making sure. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is Liquor Talk. The more you drink, the better we sound. This is the birthday rounds, you know what I'm saying? So I do want to say shout out to everybody that does show me birthday love, and shout out to the ones who don't, you know what I'm saying? So, Lex, I'm blessed to see another year of life, you know, but and because I definitely had those suicidal thoughts back when I was in college, but, you know, luckily I had a strong enough support system around me to where I had people to lean on, and also I had a strong enough know-with-all within myself to know things eventually get better, you know. It's like, and they did though, but sometimes just, you know, you gotta be patient.
Yeah, definitely. And a support system, well, like in my opinion, I think having a strong support system does help, right? But something when I was going through that real rough time, then something that my mother said that always resonated with me then, and it does still now, is that it doesn't matter like how much you talk about things, how many podcasts you listen to, how many books you read. If you're not doing something actively in your own life to move forward, to climb up out of that space, then all of those other resources that you have, you know, they matter, but they don't matter as much. Because at the end of the day, you need to take those things and apply it, and then do what you need to do to move forward, you know? And I do understand that some people have a more difficult time to do it, but you have to start somewhere. I always tell people, you know, just take one step a day, do something different that you didn't do the previous day. And by the end of the week, you have gotten more things done than you probably would have done before, you know?
Yes, you definitely have to do those things. You definitely have to take the steps to do different things, and also to get your mind off of things, you got to keep yourself occupied. Like, not gonna lie, having a podcast will definitely keep you out of a lot of trouble, you know what I'm saying? Because that's been a blessing on my end to really keep me going, because it's like, you never know who's listening to you, who listens for you, you know what I'm saying? It's just, and that definitely resonated with me when people always show me love when I got down. They're like, well, we need to look and talk, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, that's why we need you to be strong. So, but I know, but trust me, trust and believe, I have my weak moments. So I think we all definitely have our weak moments, you know, and we just find a way to keep going and to keep pushing.
Yeah. That's all you can do.
Yes. That's literally all you can do. So I don't know if you drink or not, but what's your favorite kind of liquor?
I do. I'm more of like an occasional drinker. I'm not real a big drinker, but if I was to go out somewhere, I prefer something like fruity. And I'm one of the people that live a little out there a little more, whereas though I will ask the bartender just to give me something. Like if I'm not getting something like a vodka and cranberry, or I'm old school too, like amaretto sour or something like that, I'll ask the bartender just to whip me up something. But if I'm in my own personal house, like, I'm more of a wine drinker. So one of my favorite wines is called Sweet Waters, and I prefer the red wine. So anything sweet is more so up my alley.
Anything sweet, that's what's up, you know what I'm saying? That's definitely what's up. Anything sweet. I know a lot of women like sweet liquors, you know, but then you have some that they like to, you know, the strong stuff, like they drink like they're a man, you know. Everybody's different, you know what I'm saying? That's the one thing I've definitely learned, is everybody's different. You learn to vibe of what makes you, what gets you there, you know?
Maybe every now and then.
But I definitely feel you on that being an occasional drinker, because many people will hear me say this, that they'll be shocked to hear that I say I'm the same thing. I'm an occasional drinker myself. I'm like, yeah, that might be the title of my podcast, but I ain't sitting around drinking all day. You know what I'm saying? We do have lives, you know what I'm saying? And, it's just, and plus, mm-hmm. you evolve from things too.
Mm-hmm. Yep, different strokes for different folks. I have reasons for why I do occasional stuff like that. But yeah, I think it's just different, and it's okay to have a drink once in a while. But again, I have certain reasons for why I'm not like really active with it. Even sometimes, like I can go out to dinner and be at, you know, events with people and not drink at all. So that takes a different type of level of strength though, you know, but yeah, it's okay to have something once in a while.
Yes, it's always occasional to have something every once in a while, you know. So, but once again, ladies and gentlemen, this is Liquor Talk. The more you drink, the better we sound. Talk to me about taking a break, because I know you recently came back from a recent podcast break. And why is it that people nowadays, they scared to take breaks, and it's just, they will work themselves into oblivion?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I was on a break for 5.5 months. I didn't intend for it to be that long, but I used the time to work on like my wellness and my mental health, because life be life in different ways for a lot of us. And I also wanted to do something different when it came to my platform and my show. And I feel like, so from my point of view, from me just still following other podcasters, you know, being on social media, I feel like sometimes people are afraid to take breaks for one or two reasons. Either because them not doing something, they don't feel valued, right? And it may be a person that's always used to like working, you know, hyper-focused. If I'm not doing anything, I'm being lazy, which in reality, that's not the case. And doing too much can lead to burnout. And in some environments, them taking a break, they may feel like they are going to be behind everyone else, which sucks to even think about, you know, because I mean, we all are doing the same thing, you know. So I think it's different, because when I was on my break, I was like, damn, people may like think that I'm not doing this no more, even though I had people that reached out to me every so often asking like questions and stuff about when I was coming back, or was I okay and what I was doing, which is fine. But it became so frequent that I was receiving all of these messages. I'm like, well, do people not take breaks? Like, you know, that was end of my second season, and I took breaks before. So I just feel like people just expect you a lot of times to just push. And then when you finally crash, they're like, well, you got to take breaks, but you don't even take breaks, you know? And like, you have to be able to recognize when your body is burning out and be like, okay, this is going to be here when I get back. Those that support me is still going to be here. If they don't, then okay, that's fine. But I need to have my glass overflowing, because if I'm not overflowing, I have nothing to offer to other people. And if I do offer something, it's not going to be my best.
That's a fact. That's definitely major facts. And it's like, I try to take breaks, but my breaks usually last 1 or 2 months, because I'll get the itch to get back on the mic because I done seen something on social media that got me wanting to talk about it. Or mm-hmm. I done seen something that somebody done said, or I heard something on a podcast. But yeah, that gets me back, you know what I'm saying? I know how to thug it out even when my cup is not fully all the way full. But you know what I mean? But it did feel good to take breaks and stuff from podcasts, because everything, it can be mental break. You just need a break from mental exhaustion. And also, you don't know what the hell's going on in a person's life, you know what I'm saying? And that's why in my career, I'm trying to transition to become an independent worker, meaning I set my own schedule so that way I'm not burnt out with life, because life be life, you know? So I don't think people really understand that outside of being a content creator. Life be life.
Yeah, and even, looking at like mainstream content creators, I guess they consider mainstream or bigger content creators or like mainstream podcasters and things like that, at least from the ones that I'm subscribed to, they take breaks. They just have a way of rolling out their content in a certain way where it looks like a lot of times that they may not be on break, but they take breaks in their personal in their personal life. They go on vacations and trips mid-season, and it's like, well, how are they doing that? Because they're on break, And I would hope that people are following or listening to people that do encourage that, to do encourage you to pour into yourself. And yeah, when I was on my break, I got the itch to come back too, numerous times. But I also knew that with me potentially doing that, I wasn't going to offer the best material and I was not going to be fully prepared. I did pop up one time, me and one of my friends did an episode and we popped up and had, talked about things that were going on. But other than that, I was just like, you know what? I'm going to hold on to these thoughts and things. I may tweet stuff, post things on social media, but otherwise, I need to just stay true to myself and make sure that I'm 100% before I have to offer someone else anything.
I definitely felt that, you know what I'm saying? I definitely feel that, you know what I'm saying? And I don't think people really appreciate it when you're thugging it out, you know what I'm saying? I think they all look at it when you're not doing it, but it takes a lot to, thug out episodes and also to push out things when really, you're running on fumes. So I definitely feel you on that. And also to all my other content creators out there, it's okay to take breaks, you know what I'm saying? The world ain't going nowhere.
No, and trust me, your supporters, your listeners, they are going to be there when you get back. And okay, like I did put up posts on like Instagram and stuff about my absence. I still posted throughout like my break, but I put out more posts, a couple posts in regards to like when I was coming back, when I anticipated to come back. See, I've had medical stuff that's been going on with me also within the last few years. So when I said my wellness, I really needed to be together. I ended up having an eye procedure right before I wanted to like start recording again. So it pushed everything back. But you talk to your audience, you talk to the people that follow you and just let them know those things. And I mean, at the end of the day, they're human too. So I would just assume that they appreciate, you even taking more time for yourself so you can build better and more content or whatever it is that you do for them, but also just to make sure that you have some type of stability and grounding in your own personal life. And hey, if they don't, then that's their loss, right?
Yes, that's definitely their loss if they don't understand that. So it's just, and I'm glad to hear you made like a full recovery and stuff, you know. And definitely happy to have you back in the podcast game because we need our Black content creators as well. So, but speaking about Maryland, I was like I said, I was almost in Maryland for the Afros and Audios festival, but I didn't make it because of life just lifing, but. Where's the best place in Maryland to get a crab cake?
Oh my God. It's so funny you asked that because I feel like people always ask me about food, and believe it or not, like I am not your biggest foodie. I promise you, I'm not. But I do know that we are known for our seafood, specifically crab cakes. So, from in my opinion, the last time I had a crab cake, it was from a location called Papa's, and I've had crab cakes from Papa's. I've had crab cakes from Jimmy's. Seafood, which Jimmy's is a well-known place, like one of their big endorses are like the Baltimore Ravens. Shout out to my boys. but Papa's and Jimmy's, they just the last two places I've had crab cakes from. I think it's just like any other food, like you don't go everywhere for it. And I know like it was this big this other content creator that was, he's a foodie, he travels, not Keith Lee, but it's another guy. He was just here and he went to both of those places. He went to a few, and I think another one was called Timbuktu, which I've never been to, but I do like Papa's and I do like Jimmy's.
Listen, if I'm in Baltimore next year, I guess we gotta check it out, you know what I'm saying? Because they said that from what I saw from the founders of Afros and Audios that they said Baltimore is gonna be their central hub from here going forward. So
And I saw them. I saw that event, and that was around the time when I actually had my whole eye procedure. So me risking the chance and buying a ticket, unfortunately, if they had, I think I just saw that they're having it next year too. So if I'm around, I definitely wouldn't mind attending because they look like they had fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I went to the one in Philadelphia, and it was a good experience. And like I said, I got to speak at one in Philadelphia. Hopefully, I'll be getting to speak again in Baltimore because, you know, you do something, and then you run it back. You're like, there's a lot of things I didn't say. Well, this time I'm going to address those things. So hopefully in 2024, I'll be in Baltimore and be speaking. So shout out to Afros and Audios, y'all, getting a free promotion on this. Shout out to y'all. But once again, ladies and gentlemen, this is the birthday rounds. So you mentioned the theme of your season being the Phoenix era. Talk to me about how you came up with that concept, because it's like I'm hitting that impasse with myself, and I talked to two of my guys that I normally record with. They both are saying the same thing. We've been talking, and it's about doing now. And I felt that in my own life, and it's just at some point you gotta rise up like Phoenix. So talk to me about that.
So someone that I was in talking to like a couple years ago told me that I was a Phoenix in the rising, and I didn't know what it meant at that time. So it kind of just went over my head, and they were just like, you'll come back to this moment when it's time. So as I was on my hiatus and thinking of how I wanted to kind of do like my show for this season, a lot of different avenues opened for me within my own healing journey, and with me going to therapy, just digging in deeper parts that needed healing, uncovering certain wounds and stuff. And then once I was able to uncover those things, realizing how I was able to navigate through it, etc. So I was sitting one day and I was working on some stuff, and I was just like, oh my gosh, like this is it. Like I am a Phoenix in the rising. A Phoenix in the rising symbolizes coming out of the ashes of whatever the experiences, outcome, whatever that part of life was. You are now soaring and rising above those things. And I'm like, I have literally rose above any obstacle, any trial or tribulation that I have ever faced. It may have taken me a little bit in some encounters to get my way out or to find the full understanding of it, but I've always come out on top. So I was like, I'm going to push this onto my show and my platforms. I do believe that when we change in our own life, like it reflects everything around us, whether it's the people you communicate with, whatever endeavors you're working on, like those things spill out in some way. And there was no way that I could try to do like this personal rebranding of myself and it not affect my platforms. So I was like, I'm going to introduce this going into my new season. And with the guests that I have coming on and that I have had come on in the past seasons have always been people that have endured some type of traumatic experience or just something they live to tell today. And in that in itself, they have rose from the ashes of the deepest, darkest depths of those encounters. So I'm like, we're all phoenixes. We're all continuing to rise. And that's the message that I wanted to continue to push because I'm still rising in adversity. We all are on a daily basis. So that's where that whole idea came from. And so far, I'm only, three episodes in for this season, but the conversations will continue to show the rise of a Phoenix in different areas from me and my guests. And that is just how I'm continuing to just like navigate my life, not looking at life or situations that are thrown my way as why is this happening to me? But this is in some shape or form happening for my better good. It may not make sense yet, but if I continue to rise from it, it will make sense eventually.
That's real. That's real. Because we all go through things that just don't make sense. You're like, what the hell is this teaching me? You know what I'm saying? Instead of looking at why is this happening to me, we need to be looking, saying, what is this trying to teach me? And what's the what's the message behind this? You know what I'm saying? It's just, and sometimes you just get to that point where it's just time to rise up. You know what I'm saying? It's just time to, we've been talking for months and months and stuff. It's just, we've been planning all these things and making, we just got to start rising and doing, because you only got one life to live in. You know, you don't want to get to the point when you aren't able to do things and mm-hmm. live with a lot of regret, because I know a lot of people who are older than us, significantly older, it really does sound like they would love to just go back in time and undo some things. But I do feel we got to take advantage of this moment and rise. And also, we got to rise. And also, we got to maintain that level of rising. You know what I'm saying? We can't just mm-hmm. rise and then just fall off, you know, like some mm-hmm. people.
Yeah, it was a video. Plies, you know, Plies is known to be on social media sometimes trolling, putting out funny content or whatever. He did a video a couple months ago, and he said that someone had randomly came up and asked him, like, how is it that he's always smiling? Like, he always seems like he's in this good mood, never lets anything bother him. And they asked him, like, how are you able to do that? And he pretty much explained the fact that when you are in your infancy stage, your toddler and teenage, up until you're like the age of 18, like someone is responsible for you. You know, everything that you do, most of the time, you know, you have to get, as a kid, you got to get permission to do everything. And then when you go into like your early 20s, from that 20 stage up until you're 60, that's when you're like experiencing life on your own. Because for some people after 60, you have to be dependent on someone to do everything for you. So we choose when we are able, we have to choose in our life when we're just going to live fully invested in ourselves, live to make ourselves happy, not looking for outer validations, not having to realize that people can make you happy, but you have to make yourself happy, finding things that you enjoy doing. And him saying that, it made so much sense, because unfortunately some people do reach that age and they look back and like, damn, I wish I would have did this, or I wish I could have got to experience all of these different aspects of life, when, you know, unfortunately some of us are dealt different cards. But some people live in their demise longer than what they would like, because they don't have access to different healing modalities or different spaces where they can talk. And now, looking at the world, especially with social media, it's available. You just have to want it. Like, you really have to want it.
Yes, you really have to want it. You can look at any major, minor or major setback like, look, it's whatever. Use that as an excuse. But you definitely got to want it, because if you let something defeat you, you don't want it bad enough. Or sometimes in life, maybe if something's just not working right, maybe that's just a sign that, hey, something bigger and better is out there for you. Sometimes you got to know when to shift gears and keep pushing, and also mm-hmm. knowing when to just throw in the chip, throw your hands up and just walk away from me. You know what I'm saying? So,
mm-hmm. And it's all about, it's about your mindset. Because I'm a firm believer that you cannot sit with a whole bunch of negative thoughts, and assumptions about how things are going to play out, and then expect for it to be anything other than what you are already assuming and, you know, contesting it to already be. So when it comes to like reprogramming your subconscious mind, are your subconscious, your experiences and thoughts and of the past. And a lot of people let their past thoughts, their past experiences dictate your conscious thinking and how you proceed with your current state. And that is what holds us back a lot of times. And that is what unfortunately predicts our further outcomes. So when it comes to wanting things for ourselves and wanting to climb out of certain experiences, I wholeheartedly believe that we all can. You know, whether you have to get more resources and help, that's fine, you know, but it's also about training your thinking to think that you can overcome these things, or that you will overcome these things, or that you are deserving of living a better life. Whatever it is, you know, it really starts with your mind. Change your mind, you change your life.
That's real. You always got to change your mindset, because shortcomings are going to happen, you know what I'm saying? It's the ones that are mentally stable who are able to push through those shortcomings, you know what I'm saying? Because sometimes the first time adversity happens, people fold, you know what I'm saying? But the ones who don't fold are the ones that are successful and stuff and are continuing to rise and make shit happen, you know? Because it happens to everybody, even when you are, even when you are well off.
Yeah, definitely.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Looker Talk. I hope you all are enjoying this conversation. Be sure to follow, subscribe, and like, comment, tell a friend, pour up your favorite liquor. Get some red wine this week, ladies and gentlemen. Or get a bottle of champagne and celebrate your boy having another year of life under his belt. You know what I'm saying? So pop that champagne, celebrate with your boy, because this is the podcast that tells you the more you drink, the better we sound. Continuing with Miss Shakita over here. So I want to say something about one of your episodes. You earned a lot of respect for me because you gave a brother a platform to share his thoughts and to talk about his experiences, and you didn't bat one eye at it, and you didn't. And I definitely have to commend you for that because you hear a lot of toxic conversations with a lot of black women and black men. It just feels like they're just going back and forth and back and forth, and nobody's really taking the time out to listen to this person's perspective. So tell me about what made you say, I'm going to listen to people's perspectives.
Well, thank you for listening. I appreciate it. And I will continue to uplift any black man's experience, just as well as any black woman's experience. Because I have my experiences as a black woman. And one thing that I hate is when someone devalues my experiences because you don't understand or you have different opinions, right? And we can have different opinions about things, but you can't disregard someone's personal experience in relation to that. So I don't know if you're referring to the recent conversation or the first one. But
I was going to say the recent one with the brother who recently came home from jail and he was telling his story and stuff.
Oh, yeah. So I just feel like we said in the beginning of the conversation, a lot of people deal with silent issues behind closed doors, like in regards to like depression and just mental health overall. And like you said, you see these panels and people talking, men and women, they just going back and forth because they disagree, and we can disagree to agree all day. But again, you cannot devalue someone else's experience because that's their lived experience. Like that's their truth. You can say you don't agree with how they may have handled things or how they look at it, but in the same token, that's devaluing whatever they have lived through. And I feel like opening my platform to have those conversations with men, because I can only speak as a woman and how some women perceive things, those conversations also will help other people realize that, you know, men have feelings. You know, men deal with some of the same feelings and emotions that us as women do as well. And a lot of men are really closed off, just as well as women, in regards to speaking on things because they don't feel safe. They don't like the feeling of feeling vulnerable. They feel like they're going to be judged or shunned for different things. And I'm not that person. I can honestly say that I was before, just because of my lack of understanding and my lack of growth at the time. But I always say when you know better, you do better. And the more that I have grown and I have healed those wounds and got down to like the nitty gritty on why I was like that, I can't allow myself to be in a space where I continue to like do that, you know? So I just feel like it's important to just, you know, uplift people's voices, their experiences. And even if I don't understand it, because it's not my lived testament, I can at least just give people their flowers. Or just, hey, you're still here. You're still fighting through. You're doing something better with your life. You know what I'm saying? And that's all that matters. Because again, a lot of times the things that we deal with in our life, if you want to speak on a more spiritual concept, a lot of things that we deal with in our life is not for us. It's for us to get through and for us to help someone else navigate the journey at a later time, you know? So I became real intrigued like last year when I started hearing different podcasts about, you know, other men that I had met through podcasting talk about like their mental health. And I'm like, oh, this is real. Like, I knew it was a real thing with men, you know, working in the field, but I feel like it goes a lot deeper, you know?
Yeah. And listen, me and my fellas, we come together. Mental health comes out a lot when we do our men's only rounds. And it's just us black men talking and stuff. So it's like, but mental health has definitely come up a lot. And also, mental health, if black men were able to have that platform, that voice to speak, maybe some of those brothers wouldn't have committed suicide. Because I don't know if you saw this or not, but they say the numbers show that suicide and black men are up, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, if those brothers recognize a sign and they talk to somebody about it, it's like, and we need to be addressing these things because we might be saving lives out here.
Yeah, and I feel like in some instances, you know, men may not want to hear from women. That's fine. They want to hear from other men. Cool. So if there's actually men that have these platforms that are speaking on the experiences, that are putting their own feelings and experiences on the line, being vulnerable, opening that gate to show men like, hey, brother, like you can come here. We can talk about it. We can also pour into you. That would make people more open to doing that, just as well as on, like, you know, on the female side. And I think a lot of people think that they're going to be judged in the process. So I think it always depends on like who the person is that is orchestrating the conversation. And of course, like whoever the person is that feels like they need that safe haven to talk, you know, that wasn't the first time I've had one of them conversations, and you gain a lot from it. Like, again, I've never experienced most of the things that individual said on my show, right? However, but I've learned some insightful things in how to, like, me, I may need to handle myself differently. And then in some instances, you may realize, like, wow, like, I may be a little judgmental. Maybe I need to fall back from, like, how I perceive people and their experiences. Like, you just never know what you're going to gain from a conversation without actually having one.
This is so true. You really learn a lot when, especially like when you're the one hosting the podcast, because there's been a lot of women I heard from that I really sat back and I learned from them while we were sitting up here recording and stuff, you know what I'm saying? So I definitely feel that. And also, you get to a point in life where you're okay with speaking your mind and pissing people off, because it's like, not everybody's gonna like your opinion. And at the end of the day, who really cares? You know what I'm saying? It's just, and to those people that struggle with that, I highly recommend people read the book called The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. I highly recommend people read that, because that book kind of changed my life, you know what I'm saying? Because I used to be one of those ones that passive and cared what people thought, you know. I'm just going to put it out there, you know what I'm saying? If people rock with it, they rock with it. If not, who gives a fuck, you know? At the end of the day, right?
Yeah, between that and not taking everything personal. Because I think also, like, that's, you know, a trait that a lot of people, you know, deal with. Sometimes, even still myself, I deal with it, you know, personalizing everything. Everything may not be meant for you, or how you may be perceiving something. It just may be the wrong way. That's not saying that your perception of it is wrong, because we perceive things based upon something inside of us. It always starts with us, whether people want to acknowledge that. And that also brings up the conversation of just accountability, which is a whole nother level of it, right? But yeah, just not really having to really release those shackles around just the perception of what people feel about you, and then more so of why you're actually doing something, or like, why are you speaking out? Like, I personally, you know, had to deal with all of it, and it's not always easy, right? But in some sake, it can be beneficial.
Yes, trust me, I know how that feels. There's some things it's not easy to deal with, but you get through it, and because you know eventually there will be a benefit coming out on the other side, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes you got to have those conversations that you don't want to have, especially like in all relationships. And I really feel like that's a reason that a lot of relationships, they fail, because Nobody don't want to have those uncomfortable conversations. And also, whether it's a friendship or a lover's relationship or family members, all those shit fail because nobody want to have the conversations. And they don't want to deal with the harsh criticisms. And they don't want to take accountability.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I mean, it's also realizing that, unfortunately, some people just don't know how to communicate because there are different levels of communication. There are different levels of like listening. Some people just don't know how to do it. And you don't know how to do things that aren't shown to you. You know, some things you have to be taught how to do, unfortunately. But even if you don't know how to do something, you can just still learn. You know, I used to think I was the best listener ever. I really did until I realized that I was not actually listening to people because I would listen to you, but I'm listening because I already know how I'm going to respond. And that's not how you actively listen. You listen to learn and to understand, because sometimes people are talking to you not from a space of they need for you to fix it. They don't need your answers. They just need you to listen. And if you're just listening to understand, then that will take a lot of stress off of a lot of people too.
Yeah. And I think that's why some women I've heard over the years, some women don't like going to men for advice, because we already got this. So we listen, trying to figure out how we can come up with a solution for the problem instead of just listening to, you know, to be like, hey, I'm just venting. I'm just getting it out of my system, you know. And, you know, sometimes we still suck at that because it's like we want to help you get through it. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a lot of, we got big fish to fry out here, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that goes both ways, because you have a lot of women that are like very superior in their standpoint, real independent, strong women, right? And we look like we have to fix everything. You come to me, I know you need me to fix it somehow. Like, I am your Olivia Pope. I'm going to provide you with a cleanup. But in other, you know, environments, it's just, no, I don't need you to do that. I just need you to listen.
Yeah, and also that's the one thing you got to learn for. You got to decipher between learning when you need to fix it or when you just need to just be there, you know what I'm saying? Because sometimes you just need to be there for somebody, and that can really change things, you know?
Yeah, most definitely.
So what you got planned with the podcast for 2024? Because 2023, we're almost done with it, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, my season just started about 3 weeks ago. So I plan on continuing to put out these lovely conversations that I have had with people, and just see where, you know, that goes. I don't know how many episodes I'm gonna do this season. I think I did about 26, 27 last season, but 2024, I will be stepping into my second year of podcasting. So I don't know. We'll see what type of endeavors I will embark on. I've had some recent conversations with other people about launching some other things that may be, you know, in the works. So we will see how that goes. But otherwise, I will continue to have these conversations around mental health and advocacy for survivors of abuse and just healing all together, because you can't never get enough of these conversations. And I mean, you can, right? But sometimes it triggers people's wounds, because that's something that they may need to work on and they may not be ready, and that's fine. So at least let me be your stepping stone to get to that point.
That's real. You definitely gotta be that step point. And also, you gotta know when you gotta address something, you know what I'm saying? Because, and sometimes it could take recording a podcast to make you realize that, damn, I need to really address some things. Because there was a podcast that I made a guest appearance on, and I played it back, and I'm like, you know what? God damn, I need to really just learn how to need to heal from this. Also, I need to learn how to put that poker face on and show that it's not eating at me, you know what I'm saying? But you just never know. But nevertheless, not bad for someone that's, you know, I thought you had been podcasting for a while, but wow, you're really good at it, you know?
Yeah, and that's true, because I started batch recording last season, and I got that idea from one of my podcasting sisters. She batch records all her stuff. I will never be on her level of batching, because her batching is like she does 10, 15 episodes a day, and I can't, you know, full time.
That sounds like somebody I might know.
She do that and work a full-time job. I'm like, mm-mm. But I got the idea of a batch recording from her, so I started on it last season, and it worked for my benefit. You know, you got life, and you never know when things are going to pop up. But with batch recording, I always have like episodes to put out, so I kept it going this season when I started recording. So I've already recorded. I have enough episodes for the rest of this year, and maybe a couple weeks up until like February, March, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Just so many. But the point is, through those conversations with some of those individuals, like I have been, if you listen, I've been on the episodes and I'm like, oh my God, like you just brought something in my life full circle that I didn't know I needed. So you just never know when those moments will pop up. And I'll be like, I need to go talk to my therapist now because you just brought us, you know, but that's good. Like, that's what I want to continue to do. And again, I've only put out 3 episodes this season so far, and I've gotten so much good feedback from it. And I just hope that someone continues to take something from every episode, whether it's my show, your show, or any of the other, you know, podcasts that a person may listen to, because that's where the voice of a lot of people's reasoning, you know?
Yeah, I feel that. I may get back to batch recording, but the only thing I hate about batch recording is sometimes you'll get that itch to get on the mic because there's something current that didn't happen you want to talk to about, but
you can do it though. You can, you, I think it's just about how you manage it. So, like, I save space within my scheduling to still do solo episodes. You know what I'm saying? And just because you batch record a whole bunch, don't mean you have to put them out in order or whatever. I guess you would go with like the significance of your show. But if you feel the itch to put out something, you know, during the third week after you got all these other episodes, you can still do that. Like, that's how I managed my show last season. It worked well. Like, I would have like my regular, you know, guest episodes I would put out, but I would try to do a solo episode like at least once a month. And then I started doing this thing called Candid Conversations, and I hadn't done one. Actually, I hadn't done one for this year yet. But I would just bring like my friends together and we would just converse about things that were going on, or we would like have a topic and we would just talk about it. And those are the still times where you can still put your messages out, even with your episodes with your guests. You can still do like an extra part of a recording, whether it's on your intro or your outro, and, you know, say what you got to say. I think you just learn as you go and you release what expectations that you may be looking at. And just do what feels good to you.
Yeah, always. That's what we always got to do. Lastly, you got a great platform, but tell the people in your own words, why do people need to tap in with your podcast?
I think people need to and should tap in with my podcast because it's a safe space. It's a safe space to navigate your feelings without judgment. It's a safe space to just, like, if you, like, heal, to gain some type of insight. And it's not your story, right? It's not your experience. It's living kind of through someone else's, meaning you may hear someone's story on my platform with something that you have personally dealt with, and you're not in a space or you don't see yourself healing from it, but just hearing their encounter and the fact that they're living and they're still doing better and they're flourishing in their life may be enough to push you through to the point where you're saying, like, you know what, if she did it or if he did it, maybe I can do this, you know? And it's always going to be equipped with some type of education or recommendations on like what you can do, you know? And it may even be from like a therapist or a psychiatrist point, because listen, I'll be out there going to get the ones that can tell you, you know, more better than I can. And they have a little bit more letters behind their name than I do. So I think that matters too. So yeah, that's why you should listen to my podcast.
That's real. I want to thank you for making an appearance. Coming on Liquor Talk. Like I said, whenever you're ready to have me on, I hope I made a good enough impression on you that you want to bring me onto your platform. You know what I'm saying? Because I've been doing this a while. There's been some people that I've shared my platform with them, and then after that, they just go ghost on me. So I hope that's not the case with you, because I have interesting perspectives, you know. So I'd love to come on your platform and return the favor. Whenever you're ready to make that happen, I'm in Florida, but I'm just a DM away. So I do appreciate you for coming on and taking time out your day to bless the Liquor Talk with your presence.
Yes, and I will take you up on that offer. All I just ask is just be patient, because I have a chaotic life, whether it seems like it or not. But when it comes to like my show, just like I would expect anybody else's, you would be very intentional about your guests, your messages, or whatever it is that you're putting out there. So yes, we will definitely lock in a date and move forward with that. And thank you for even thinking of me to have on your platform, and just for being so generous.
No problem, though
we got this little weird camera thing going on right now with technology, I appreciate it.
Yes, I definitely appreciate it. This would definitely be an audio only episode, because this is this thing is new to me, you know what I'm saying? But it's probably been, because it's been a minute since I recorded, but nevertheless, we got through the episode. I enjoyed having you on. I enjoyed to all my listeners. I want to thank you all for tuning in with Liquor Talk. I hope y'all pulled up the conversations for this conversation. Until next time, remember to tell a friend to like, comment, subscribe on all platforms, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you get your platforms. We'll come back to YouTube real soon, and come to Twitch in 2024. Until next time, we out this thing, y'all. Deuces.
Peace out.